5 is where we'll be tonight. We'll read a few other verses tonight as well. I know that I've, over the last several weeks for sure, I've used a lot more scripture, supportive scripture, and I feel that it's so important as I study, and as I'm sure that you study God's Word, you know, if you begin to study and begin to make reference points and draw back to other Bible verses that support whatever topic it is that you're focused on, you really can see how God's Word is so interwoven from beginning to end, and how everything is so important for each other. It's a building block. Each word is a building block. And so thankful that the references are there. And aren't you glad that you don't have to be the one to make those references? Aren't you glad that those little footnotes and all of those, all the research has already been done? Because it would be very difficult for you and I, it would be very difficult for me to be able to study a portion of Scripture and say, oh, I remember reading that in so-and-so. Now, many of you may be capable of doing that. I am not. So I'm so thankful for these types of notes that we have and these footnotes and all the different references. And so tonight there's lots of scripture that I want to share with you, but it all supports what truly matters, and that is eternal. And so we're going to look at John 1, 1 through 5, and then some other verses in John as well. But how many of you have already made it out maybe to Flat Rock to see the Christmas lights this year? Has anybody done that yet? Nobody has yet. Well, if you've ever gone, or if you go this year, according to how long you sit there, if you get there when there's no lights on and it's going in between the songs, they start off with total darkness, and then they go into reading this scripture. And so it's important to know where God's Word comes from, and it's eternal, and it's the beginning, it's the end. And so if you're out of there watching those lights, it starts off and this voice is reading this very scripture here. And as he begins to read, then the lights begin to come on, and then it goes into a song. But it talks about that stillness, and that's what it reminds me of. And it talks about how God's Word became flesh. And so if you would look at these verses here, verses 1 through 5 of the eternal Word of 1 John. And it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was the beginning with God, all things. They're made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so this is what eternity is truly all about. As we think about the beginning being the Word, and eternity truly began at the beginning of the Word, through the plan of God. And so I ask you the question tonight, what truly matters to you? What does life bring to you that really maybe hits home the most, where you begin to really think about life in its essence? And so are there things in your life, though, that you feel that you spend way too much time on? Are there things in your life that you put more forth more effort on than you should, and which maybe takes away from the efforts that you put towards studying God's holy and infallible Word? And so as believers in Christ, the thing that should matter the most for us should be eternity. That's the focal point of who we are and what we are. And it's through being children of God that we can rejoice in knowing that we can enjoy a great eternity, a life eternal versus a death eternal. In this particular gospel that we're looking at tonight, John here is introducing us to Jesus being eternal, and that Jesus was pre-existent, and his Word became flesh. And that's very neat to think about, the fact that Jesus was pre-existent before the Word was given, per se, before the Word was actually written. But he became the Word so that we would be able to read and to understand and to know who Jesus is and what he's all about. Skip down to verse 14 of this very same chapter. The Word becomes flesh. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word begotten, we've heard several times now since we've gathered together. We talked about the begotten last Sunday morning. We talked about the begotten this Sunday morning. And now we read that very same word again tonight. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word. This is the flesh of the Word, Jesus Christ Himself. It is our doctrinal faith that we believe and that we know that Jesus is the one of a kind Son of the Father, who Himself is God. And so, you know, we can't truly wrap our minds around what that means, God in three persons. How can that truly be? And you know, it's okay that you may have a perfect answer, but I don't have a perfect answer from my own definition. It's okay that we don't fully understand how that's going to be. But if you read God's Word and you know that God's Word is true, that's really all that matters. That we read God's Word knowing that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three in one, and that Jesus Christ was pre-existent before the Word became flesh, that God was pre-existent before the Word became flesh, and that the Holy Spirit was pre-existent before the Word became flesh. We just have to believe this and know this to be true. If you would look at verse 18 of this very same chapter. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So no one has seen God. And He knew that we weren't able to be able to see Him. So He sent His only begotten Son to become the Word in flesh. And so before Jesus was sent to this earth, there was something else that was going on that man used, and that was the law. And those laws were given by God to Moses. So look at verse 17. I know we've already read 18, but now I just want you to go back and look at 17. It says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." That's very important. There was no grace and there was no truth in the law. There was only one way that it could be obtained. There was only one way that it could truly enter, and that was through Jesus Christ Himself. And I know that you are glad, I am very glad, that we do not live by the law any longer, that we live by the Lord Jesus Christ and by what He has done for each and every one of us, for what He has done for anyone that will call upon His name. And when we do call upon His name, we're able to then experience grace. We're then to experience truth. And by experiencing those two words together, we then are able to say that we are a part of God's eternal Word. And that's what truly matters. You know, we focus on the Bible. We focus on Jesus and as who He is and what He means to us within our own lives. But we really need to focus on eternity. You know, as we grow older, we're always striving to better ourselves, whether you're trying to better yourselves through the corporate ladder, or better yourselves as a spouse, better yourselves as whatever, a better person in general. We're always wanting to better ourselves. And so the best way for you and for me as Christians to better ourselves is to continually focus on what truly matters, and that is eternal. And that we should make sure that that is the focal point of our day, because eternity is important. We can see in our obituaries this very week that we have lost many people through the ranks of the town of Kershaw just in the last week. And we know that sometimes that happens. It comes in spells where there's more and more all together at one time that pass, it seems. And then there may be times where there's not many in our knit group that has passed. But we know that life eternal or death eternal is imminent. And so we really must focus on eternity. As you know, this morning I talked about what do you do with Jesus? And so really that goes hand in hand. What will you do with Jesus? And so by sharing Jesus, you are making a difference for someone's eternity. And not only someone else's eternity, you're still making a difference for your eternity. Even though you're guaranteed a place in heaven, God wants you to continually do work for Him, to bring Him continual glory and continually bring Him eternal glory. That's what really matters. That's what God wants us to focus on. The law was given by Moses, but that grace and truth comes by accepting and believing Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go back and look at verses 1 through 5. This is the main focus of tonight's message, where we see here that the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This very same verse echoes in Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So this verse here is very similar to Genesis. In the beginning. And so we know that in the beginning, God Himself established who He was, who His Son was, and who the Holy Spirit was, and who they were too. Become. And so John understood that, and so he establishes Jesus' existence by connecting it with eternity past with God. And so that's what John was striving to do here, was making sure that the relevance was there, that you could see that as you study Genesis 1 and then you study here in John, that he wanted the people to know that in the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was His Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. The Word conveys the notion of divine self-expression. The Word is capitalized, Word, meaning God. It's divine wording and guidance from the Lord Himself. And if you would, turn to Psalm 19. Hold your place there at John. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. This is the perfect revelation of the Lord. This is proclaimed in all of Psalms, but in these first four verses especially. Verse 1 starts off by saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the Son." God's Word is so very effective. He speaks and things come into existence. And you know, that's one thing I know that is mesmerizing to me, and it was as a child, as I remember being told the story in the very beginning. There was the heavens and the earth, and how God created all of these things in each given day. And it was just mesmerizing to me, and I still is to this day. You know, what did He do? Did He use His hands? Did He just speak everything into existence? Did anything flow from His fingertips? How did it really transpire? You know, we will never know. And when we get to heaven, you know, we're not going to think to ask that question. Oh, God, how'd You do this? And God, how'd You do that? That's not going to be a concern of ours. But isn't it neat, though, that God has given us an imagination and it allows us to kind of to think about those things and how He did bring everything into existence. We know that Jesus Himself could stand on the bow of a ship as the sea was raging and tossing to and fro, and He could speak and the wind and the waves were still. And so we know that the power of God and the power of His Son Jesus is through His mouth, through His touch, so many different things that God did and Jesus Himself did while He was here on earth, through the mouth and through His hand. So many things that He performed through the power of the living God. And so we serve a God who can speak anything into existence, who can touch anything and bring it forth. As Jesus brought forth Lazarus, all He simply said was, "Lazarus, come forth." And He did. And you know, it may have been that same thing for you when you were sitting in your pew or wherever you were when God was beginning to deal with you, the Holy Spirit was beginning to deal with you. It may have been that same type way. It may have been saying to you, "Darlene, come forth. Brother Gerald, come forth." That same power that brought Lazarus forth is the same power that allowed you to make that walk, or that allowed you to see that you were in need of a Savior. And so, aren't you glad that God is so very capable, that He has brought us eternity? He brought eternity down into a manger, and to live a life that we live so that we could understand and know more and more about Him. So what truly matters is really eternal. I want to share a few verses with you tonight, and I'll say the verses slowly. If you want to write the verses down and maybe go back and read them through the course of the week, or even tonight, whenever it may suit you. But these few verses that I'm going to read just support eternal matters and what truly matters, and how God always has a plan for eternity. And we say that with great hope for tomorrow as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has a plan for eternity for the living and for the dead. So that's something that cannot be ignored. We can't just pretend that all that other doesn't exist and that we are happy where we are because we know we're saved. But we know that there's so many who are headed down the wrong road who are not saved. And they will experience eternal death. Genesis 1:3 reads, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." One prime example of God's power, simply speaking and saying, "Let there be light," and there was light. Could you imagine what it was like for the very first time? If you were a part of the earth's system, you know, and I know that wouldn't be possible, but, you know, think about that, though, in the mornings when you first wake up and you go to cut that light on for the first time in the morning, and you squint, you know, before it takes a while for your eyes to get adjusted, and then you were able to see. And so that's how it was at one time here, this place that where we are, it was total darkness. But then God said, "Let there be light." And then He goes on to say in Genesis 1:9, and God says, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Now, it was so is not necessarily needed for our understanding or our convincing, because we know that if we read it in the Bible, we know that it's true. But I like that confirmation at the very end of verse 9. It gives us exactly what God said. And after He said it, those things took place. And then it concludes by saying, "And it was so." And so we see here how important it is to know that God's word is true, and that everything that He says will always be so. Isaiah 55:11-12 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's very important, you know, for you and for me who may feel as if we aren't capable of doing the work of God, and we're not capable of teaching others who God is, or just speaking or having conversation with someone about God. And it tells us here that God's word will not return void, and that it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So if the word of God is living within you and He is sending you out to do His work, it's going to be okay. You're going to prosper. God's going to allow you to prosper. His word's going to prosper because He tells us in verse 11. Then it goes on to say in verse 12, "For you shall go without joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Now this is an illustration of the power of God. Wouldn't that be awesome to see, though, "the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing"? Can you imagine what that'll be like? "And then all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I don't know exactly what that means and how that will take place, but if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If He says for it to take place today, it'll take place. But that's the kind of rejoicing that we can do. We can be like these mountains. We can be breaking forth with the joy that God has put within us, and we will sing, and we can be as the trees, and we can clap our hands together in joy. Just these few verses that I share here are just examples of God's power and God's eternal love for you and for me. We're back in John now, looking at verse 2 and 3. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made. Everything that exists, we owe it to God. It is through God's existence that we are able to enjoy this beautiful fellowship together, this beautiful sanctuary together, this beautiful tree that is here. We know that the tree in itself is not a representation of what we celebrate during the month of Christmas, but these types of decorations and the things that we have in this sanctuary are blessings from God. He wants us to enjoy these things. He doesn't want us to make this tree or these window decorations a part of our worship service as far as an idol, as we worship the beauty. Now, if we worship the beauty through God, that is okay. But God has given us so many wonderful and glorious things, and everything that we have was made by him. And then the most important thing that was made by him is his Son, Jesus Christ, who is eternal. The Word never had a beginning, nor does it have an end. Jesus is personal with God, which means he enjoys intimate fellowship with the Father. And so that's important for me and you as well, because the relationship that Jesus has with his own Heavenly Father is the very same relationship that he wants you and I to have together and with Jesus Christ himself. That's what he really wants. And when you begin to foster those types of relationships, in my mind, I think, and you may not always realize it, even within your heart, you may not always realize it, but you're focused on eternity. You're focusing on what truly matters. You may not always come right out and say that, hey, I'm worried about your eternal destination. But when you're coming together and you're going out and telling others about Christ, you are doing your part to assist those individuals of having life eternal versus death eternal. Jesus, as I said, is divine, and he is God in human flesh. And what's so amazing, too, is that he came, as we have seen, and we say, this little baby. But he was the creator of the universe. He created the universe, but yet he was still willing to leave his throne on high, to walk on this earth and to suffer and to endure all these hardships, just like you and I have. And, of course, we know he endured much more. But he did all of that for one reason only, and that is to give you a chance of life eternal. Now, I use that word chance loosely by meaning that it's not by chance that you become saved. It's not by chance that you are here tonight. It's not by chance that you just happen to begin reading your Bible. We know that everything is directed through God. So Jesus didn't just leave his throne on high by chance. He did it for one reason, because his Father told him to. And so God gives us commandments and things that we're to do. And so as obedient as you are supposed to be to your own parents as you were growing up, or as you, some children or younger children are here with us tonight and teenagers are here with us tonight, we want them to always be obedient to our parent. But always remember this, what I tell Robert, Michael, and Brody every day. Mom and Daddy will not always know and see what you're doing or hear what you're saying. But your Heavenly Father always does. So don't worry about always trying to please us and be obedient to us. Make sure that you're always being obedient to God. And that's very important. And we as adults really need to live that as well. Because we think, oh, we get a little older, we can be a little more laxed in the way that we conduct ourselves, which that is not true. It becomes more and more difficult the older you get, I believe. Because as you live longer, you can see that it's easier for you to find other ways or excuses or outlets to take away some of your time that you could be devoting to God. So what truly matters is eternal. Looking at the last two verses that we read in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now within these verses here, we see and we can rejoice in John's reference to life, light, and darkness. And he continues to do this by drawing off the thing that we've already talked about tonight in Genesis. We know that life and light kind of go hand in hand, and then we know that death and darkness go hand in hand. That good is light and that evil can be dark. And so John uses that very same reference. And so we will no longer be in John anymore. So if you don't mind, I would like you to turn to Genesis 1. And let's look at verses 14 through 18 tonight. Genesis 1, verses 14 through 18. Within these verses here, God is using light, life, and darkness, just as John was using it in his gospel. We'll look at verse 14 through 18 here, and it says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." You know, I wonder, as he looked and saw that, as he made that statement, that bold statement, he saw that it was good, and now we look at the world that we live in. I imagine he doesn't say that it is good. No matter how many lights we have shining within our communities, within our nation, our world, there is so much evil. And God sees that evil, and he knows that evil. He knows the evil that is in every man, woman, boy, girl's heart. Even you and I who are here tonight, he knows our every thought, our every desire, our deepest secrets. And so when God looks at our lives, does he see life and light? Or does he see darkness and evil? And for those who do not know God, for those who wander through this earth aimlessly, out and about, trying everything they can to make their lives better, whether they're hiding from something or whether they just don't know any better. What truly matters for them is definitely eternal. And we take it for granted so many times. We think about our lives and we think, oh, we've got it so good. But don't ever, ever let your guard down. Your life may be good, but it's all because of God. It's all because of your obedience to God. And if you begin to think that it's because of something you've done, then you're beginning to become disobedient towards God, and that is exactly what you cannot do. And so then that may begin to alter life eternal for someone else that you interact with. So we have to always make sure, no matter how difficult it may be, to be obedient to God. And do exactly what it is that he wants you to do. As we read in verse 14, it said, "And God said," and then he ends at verse 18 where we just read in Genesis, "And God saw that it was good." So everything that God says, we know is the truth. And we know that everything that God says is full of love, it is full of compassion. And it also is what leads you to eternity. And so we want to be able to know and think about our lives, and that if God looks down upon us, is he pleased with what you're doing? Is he pleased with what Sand Hill Baptist Church is doing? These simple statements here prove of God's eternal love. It proves of God's eternal promise. And you know, these are really small phrases. God said, and then God saw that it was good. No large vocabulary is needed to comprehend those words, but he used such small words to convey such a huge, a grand concept, and it's life eternal. God said for his only begotten Son to leave his throne on high, to live a life that would give us the example or to show us the way in which to live, and that's what he intended for him to do. His Son was very obedient until death. God saw that his Son was good. He was pleased with the work of his Son. And he tells us this in Matthew 3:17. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. One day he's going to say that to you or to me. He will be able to look at you and say, after it's all said and done, after you've served him faithfully, he can look to you and say, I am well pleased. We have been given a hope of eternal peace, and we have received it through the hearing of God's eternal word, God's glorious and eternal word. God is the beginning. He is the end. We too will experience a beginning and an end. We too will experience life eternal. But that question remains, will it be in the light or will it be in the darkness? You know, I often share with you the stories that Robert Michael and Brody and I have together, and I don't think they mind that I talk about them to y'all, but it's important that we talk to our children, our grandchildren. Because number one, you know, as I said this morning, when we communicate with our children, because our children love to ask questions because they want to know. But as we grow older, we begin not to ask the questions because number one, we think, well, gosh, I'm already this old. I'm kind of supposed to already know that by now. And so we're then embarrassed because we don't want people to think we don't know as much as we should about God's word. But children aren't that way. They like to know. And the reason why I bring this up is because Robert Michael asked me, you know, maybe in Sunday school he's been taught this. I'm not quite sure. But he's been told, you know, that hell is going to be a very hot place. But it's also going to be a very dark place. And so Robert Michael said, how can that be if it's going to be full of fire and fire pits? How is it going to be dark? And of course, I can't give him the answers behind that other than saying that God's word tells us this. But you know, as I have these conversations with him, I begin to think about that though. And y'all think about this for a moment. Could you truly imagine, just imagine the hottest that you've ever been, whether you've been cooking and you burned yourself or you've been out laying in the sun, working in the yard and you've been burnt by the sun. Imagine the hottest you've ever been and how miserable you felt. And that won't even begin to describe what it's going to be like, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. There will be constant moans and groans and people lamenting for eternity. And so don't you agree that what truly matters is eternity? Is what truly matters is eternal life, eternal? We see so many people that if they were to draw their last breath, would die and go to hell every day. John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God is life, and God is light. And we serve a Savior who rules over this darkness. Jesus is the light, and he brings this dark world to true knowledge and moral purity, and the light that shows the very presence of the Lord God Almighty. I want to share a couple of verses from Job tonight, and then we'll conclude. And if anybody had it rough and bad, it was Job. And I imagine that you all here today can think of some modern day Jobs who continue to be faithful. And so these verses read, Verses 14, 15, and 16 read, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. If you die, shall you live again? That's something that we need to think about. What truly matters is eternal. Let us pray. Father, we come to you tonight to give you that praise and honor that you so rightfully deserve, God. And I thank you for everyone who's here tonight, Lord. And Father, I know that they're faithful stewards of your will and your work, God. And I pray tonight, though, God, regardless of their attendance, every time the doors are open, God, I just pray that if they were to draw that last breath, myself included, God, that I know and that they know, without a shadow of a doubt, we'd be face to face with your glorious Son, your only begotten Son. Father, may we leave here tonight continually learning to love, living to love, and striving to do exactly what it is that you need us to do each and every day, God. Teaching others of who you are and what truly matters is eternal. Father, we love you and we praise you. Amen.